So Angie said a couple weeks ago, I think it was, she told me if I had something to share that I could share at the girls' camp, but she didn't want to stress me out, and so I immediately responded and told her I would rather not. I just might do help her from the backside, but I don't really like to speak, and I'd rather not. And then I kept having this, every time I was thinking, I kept thinking about the young girls here and thinking about speaking to them and remembering what it was like to be that age and remembering how it felt and all the feelings inside that I had. And so one topic kept coming to my mind of something that is very common with young girls, and that's tears. And I kept thinking over and over again, I was like, oh, it's kind of an odd topic to speak on, but it's something that's so commonplace to young girls that it just kept coming to my mind. And I told God, I said, well, even if I just speak and the only good that comes out of it is that I get humbled, I guess I'll do it. because it can be just as good for me as for anybody else to be humbled. So anyways, obviously at one time I was a little girl. I was 11 and 12 and 13, and I remember it as if it was yesterday when I sit and think about it. Like, I don't remember necessarily the past 10 years of my life super clear in my mind because they've been so full and so busy, but I can very well remember being, especially, you know, 11, 12, and 13, and all those just emotions that go through a girl at that age, and the feelings that we feel, and the upheavals and the roller coasters we go on. And one thing that I remember every time that I think back to that age is crying. I remember the tears. I remember crying, you know, as people say, at the drop of a hat. I remember times when, you know, you would, someone would tell you your shirt was pretty and you would just burst out crying, or you would trip and fall and mess up your skirt and you'd be so embarrassed that your white skirt had a brown stain on it that you would start bawling and go off and hide in the corner because you didn't want anyone to see that you had messed up your skirt. You know, all those things that we go through when we're a little girl, and the pain is real, and it's super important for us as adults to know how to handle the little girls and to understand that those tears are meaningful. Those tears have feeling behind them. There's something that causes those tears. And as little girls, it's important to remember that tears are caused by something. They don't just automatically happen. Tears come from the soul. It's an expression of the soul. It is an expression either of extreme happiness or extreme sadness, or an expression of either your age or just simply the fact of you're very emotional. And so when I was a little girl, when I cried, I often thought of the tears as being there because of what somebody had done to me, like the wrong I felt. I felt like somebody had hurt me, like I was pained inside. And in my mind, that was the only reason you cried. You cried because something hurt inside. And that is oftentimes the case. But when I look back now, I look back and I say, well, some of the reasons I cried was not because of things other people did to me. Or if I was feeling pain because of what they did to me, I shouldn't have been. And so as little girls, it's super important for us when we cry to not get into this big pity party and to sit there and think, you know, so-and-so did me wrong, and so now I'm crying. Or this person was mean to me, and so now I'm crying. Or this person did this to me, and so now I'm crying. There are lots of reasons why we have tears, and we don't always understand them all, especially as little girls. But there's something that's super important to think about when we have tears. A lot of important things we could think about, but something you should ask yourself the next time you find yourself crying is, why am I crying? And to check yourself and make sure that it's not coming from bitterness or resentment, or that it's not a seed that is going to turn into bitterness or resentment, because sometimes somebody can legitimately hurt you and you go off and you cry and cry and cry your heart out, and then you allow yourself to get just engulfed in this big pity party, and then that in turn turns into feeling bitterness and resentment towards the person that hurt you. So it's never wrong to cry because of hurt, but we want to make sure that we don't turn it into a big pity party that ends up in a pool of resentment and bitterness and anger. And the scripture talks about tears, and 24 times in the Old Testament and 11 times in the New Testament, the word tears is used in the King James Version. And obviously, there are tons of other verses that talk about people crying or weeping that don't use the word tears. But as a little girl, one of my favorite verses or my favorite verse in the entire Bible was John 11:35. And can anybody tell me what it says? Loud? Yes. And the reason it was my favorite was because we as human beings often think that, you know, adults are perfect. They don't cry, or they don't, you know, guys who are big macho guys and full grown, they don't cry. And people who are good don't cry. And people who are just the way they should be, they never cry. And so I remember as a very little girl, I must have been 6 or 7, reading that verse and memorizing it and thinking about it all the time. Why did Jesus cry? He cried, and he allowed it to be written in the scripture so that we knew it was okay to cry. It's okay for a man to cry. It's okay for a human being to feel the feelings that make us cry. And there's nothing wrong with tears, because oftentimes we don't like to see somebody sad. We don't like to see somebody upset. And so the natural inclination often of a human being is to shush them up and say, just be done. No more tears. You know, this is the end of it. And Jesus wept, and he found it necessary or important for us to know that he did. He wasn't ashamed of them. He was sad. He was willing to show his emotion as a human being, as we all should. And oftentimes we want to hide the emotion, so we try to keep our tears in because we don't want anybody to know what we actually feel inside. And that wasn't the example that Jesus left either. He left an example that when Lazarus died, he was upset, he was sad, and he cried. And it's okay to cry, and it's good to see a man cry, and it's good to see somebody that you think is perfect cry. It's good to see somebody that you think is above tears crying. And there are 3 different types of tears. We have basal tears, reflex tears, and emotional tears. These are 3 different kinds of tears that our bodies produce. And the basal tears are necessary for your eye health and vision. They're always in your eye to lubricate it and to keep them moist and healthy. Obviously, reflex tears are the ones that are going to wash debris from your eyes or irritants. Those are what come when you're out in the sand and the wind is blowing, or when you get something in your eye, or when you cut up onions or something like that. Your eyes start those tears in order to clean them. And then, of course, the 3rd kind is emotional tears, tears that come from the soul, from either being very happy or very sad. And that's just a physical fact of the kinds of tears that God made us. And tears are made up of 3 different components. They're made up of oil, mucus, and water. And your body naturally produces 5 to 10 ounces of tears every single day, whether or not you cry them out. And if you start crying, your body can produce 3 to 10 times that many ounces. So as soon as your eyes start watering, your body instantly starts producing more. And it's pretty amazing how God made your body work like that. And obviously, we have lots of other scriptures that talk about tears. And when I think of being a little girl, one of the sweetest things I remember is being sad, falling down, getting hurt, and my mom or some other loving person around picking me up and wiping my tears. It was like my favorite thing. When I was a girl around 9 and 10, I remember wanting to cry because I wanted somebody to just come and wipe my tears, because it was so comforting and just precious to me. And it was around that same age where I realized that in the scriptures, at least 3 times we are told that God is going to wipe our tears away. And Isaiah 25:8 says, "He will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord will wipe away tears from all off all faces. And obviously there he's telling us he's going to comfort us in death and will wipe the tears away. And then in Revelation 7:17, for the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them unto living fountains of water, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And then again, Revelation 21:4, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. And this is talking about in heaven. And this is obviously a literal thing that he's going to do. He's going to wipe away our tears, and there is going to be no more reason to cry. But it's also symbolic to this life that God is going to give us the comfort that he promises and wipe away our tears here for us also. And he's going to take away the burdens, whatever the burden is that's causing you to cry, if we obey the scriptures and cast our burden on him. And little girls sometimes can cry a couple kinds of tears at the same time. Tears can be a good thing, tears can be a bad thing. And a little girl can cry both kinds at the very same moment. You can cry tears of hurt and tears of anger at the very, very same moment. And of course, being a daughter of our Heavenly Father, we should take those tears to him and keep our little hearts right, so that when we do cry those tears, we go to him with them and we ask him to, you know, comfort us, to wipe our tears away, but in so doing to keep our hearts right, and also to take away the bitterness or resentfulness that might be coming through them. And there are tears that can make people want to hug you and love you, and there are tears that little girls cry that make people want to get out a spanking stick. And you as little girls want to be very sure that you don't use your tears to manipulate people and get what you want, and you don't use your tears to show a wrong kind of emotion. Like if your mom tells you that you have to stay home and you don't get to go to your friend's house for that day, and you just burst out in tears and start, "That's not fair, my sister gets to go." Or you see one of your best friends with another little girl having fun, and you get angry and cry because it's not fair, and you didn't want that girl to have fun with your friend because she's your friend. obviously, that's a wrong kind of tears. And a good kind of tears would be the kind of tears you should be crying when you get a spanking, or when you read the scriptures and you see what God has done for you. And you should have good tears when you're in your quiet time with him. You go to him and tell him your burdens, tell him your sorrows, and cry your heart out to him so that he can wipe your tears away. Those are all good kinds of tears. When I was a new young mother, I remember one time in particular that I cried tears that were a very different kind of tears, and it's one of the first times in my life that I remember actually stopping and thinking about what tears meant and what they were for and why we cried them. And so I had a couple little girls, and I remember walking into a room where adults were having a conversation, and I was used to never knowing what was going on in the adult world for a couple of reasons. Number one, I got married when I was 18, so I transitioned very quickly from a little girl into a wife and a mother very soon after. And so I was busy with my children all the time, and that keeps you away from adult company, and you often don't know what's going on or happening. And the other reason was, as a little child, I was taught very what was enforced very strictly, that children don't engage in adult conversation, children don't talk to adults, children are to be quiet around adults. And I had never come out of that, like never had gone through a real transition where I felt like I was an adult yet. And I had two little girls, and I remember walking into a room where there was a couple of adults having a conversation, and one man there, when I came in, pulled up a chair and said, this is what we're talking about. And he explained to me what they had been discussing, what they were going to discuss next. And I burst out crying. And he had no idea in the world what he had done wrong. And I felt so sorry for him. I didn't tell him, but I got up and walked out to get my composure and go back in. And the reason I cried was because, well, his kindness had so overwhelmed me, and at one instant, all of a sudden, I had these extreme emotions passing through me of this extreme kindness that this guy showed me and just treating me like an adult, I guess, in one way. And I had never felt like I was an adult, never felt like I was welcome to be with the adults, and that he cared that I knew what was going on. And the second reason I cried was because, like, in one instant, my childhood passed in front of me, and at that very moment, I felt angerness and bitterness and resentment just flood on me for the people that had never helped me to make that transition to feel like an adult or made me feel comfortable to be with the adults. And I had to go out and hash it out with God and tell him, you know, please help me to forgive these people. And, you know, they never meant evil to me. It was simply the fact that I was super self-conscious. I was quiet. I was backwards. And nobody ever told me I couldn't be with them. I put that on myself and asked him to help me forgive them and thank him for the kindness that this man had shown to me, and to go back in and sit down and join in the conversation. And that man looked at me odd for the rest of the time, and I still have never told him, though, what happened or why I did that. He probably doesn't even remember that he did it anymore. And I know this is off of the subject of tears, but I was just thinking how much you can change a life by one act of kindness or by one act of unkindness. And that man made a step, I mean, I took a new step in my life because of what he did in his act of kindness. He went out of his way to be courteous to us, which the scripture does tell us to be courteous. In 1 Peter 3:8, he says, "Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous." It's there. Something that is not to just be overlooked, but it's actually a commandment. And he was obeying that and made an impact on my life that I have, that's going to be there for the rest of my life. I was able to face a fact that, I was able to face an issue that I didn't even know existed because of his kindness. I was able to cry tears that were healing tears and tears of, that were a balm to my soul, and that took me forward to the next step in my life. And God gave me the strength and the ability to overcome and to forgive the people that I wanted to be angry and upset at, that I hadn't been able to enjoy that a number of years sooner. And I have since prayed many times that God would use that lesson in my life to help other little girls to learn to make the transition from childhood to adulthood more smoothly than I did, and to realize that oftentimes it's in ourselves to do so, and that we shouldn't put it all on other people. And I remember other times of angry tears I cried. I remember feeling super resentful and upset, specifically about going to town and going shopping with my mom. Like, this was a huge ordeal. And when we grew up in the country, and my mom went to town once a week to go shopping, and she had 10 children at the end, and not the whole time, obviously, but, and she would take 1 to 2 of us with her each week on Thursday night to go shopping. And we had a little truck, a little Toyota pickup truck, and 2 of us could sit in the front seat with her. And that was what we lived for and wanted to do every single week, because that was the only time we went anywhere besides to church or once in a while to see my grandparents. And I remember trying all week long to be so good, and I was just sure there was no way my mom could not want to take me instead of anybody else, because I had been sweet to her and I had been nice and I hadn't fought with the other kids and I had done all my work. And when the time came, I remember one time specifically where I had just made the biggest effort that I had in my whole being to be the best of all the kids all week long, and I didn't get to go. And when she left, I was so upset and angry. I went and cried and cried and cried and cried. And those were not good tears. Those were naughty tears, because I was just angry and upset because my sister, who had been much, much naughtier than me and had gotten a spanking every single day, got to go. And I didn't get one spanking all week, and I didn't get to go. And that was also a lesson. I remember going off by myself and crying and crying and praying and telling God, it's not fair. And all of a sudden it hit me that this was such a perfect example of our Christian life. And it hit me in such a way that I was so ashamed of my behavior that I had to go apologize to my mom later. And the picture that it painted so well to me, maybe some of you have already seen, was the fact that we as sinners are the ones that Christ died for. Christ is going to take to heaven the people that admit they're sinners, the people that get into trouble, the people that have done wrong things. They're the ones that are going to get to go to heaven. Because when we are able to recognize that and realize who we are and what we are, we go to Him, we give ourselves to Him, and we beg for forgiveness and mercy, which is what my little sister had done, who was so naughty every day and got spanked and spanked and spanked. And she, you know, go to my mom crying and asking her to help her be better and to be a good girl. And I never had done that because I didn't need to, because I could just do it myself. And obviously, I didn't get to go to town, even though in reality, I did behave better that week. And that's the same way it is in life. We can try with all of our hearts to behave the very best and actually could be the best child in the whole camp and still not get to go to heaven because we didn't see ourselves for the sinner we were, and we didn't go to God and ask Him for mercy and ask Him to forgive us for being wrong and ask Him in tears to help us be what we should be. And another thing that little girls, including myself, get caught up in is the fact that we always think we have it the worst. We always think, I never get to do this, and my friends always get to do this, and my home life is so awful, and I never get to go anywhere, and all the food we have to eat is yucky and boring, and we always have to do all the dishes, and our friend's mom does the dishes for her, and so on and so on. And another scripture that has taught me so much is 1 Corinthians 10:13, and it says, there has no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. And temptation here is simply another word for trial in the old English language. And for us as little girls, when we cry, when we're upset and we shed tears because people have it easier and better than we have it, you should remember this scripture, 1 Corinthians 10:13. Where God Himself tells us that we don't have anything harder than anybody else. The trials that we have are such as are common to man. Everybody experiences trials. And another thing you can do to help yourself when you're crying and you feel upset over things that are happening is to remember Philippians 4:8, which tells us what we should think on. If we sit in the corner and we think about how bad our life is and we bawl about it and we think about what yucky food we have to eat and what yucky clothes we're made to wear and the fact we get spankings and whatever else might happen to us that's unpleasant in life, we're going to feel much, much yuckier in life and have a lot more tears to shed. But if we can think on what we're told to in Philippians, we'll have a much easier time. So it says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. And obviously, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And so if we have these things in our heart, especially when we're together like at camp, the things that we're going to talk about, if we think about the things that He tells us to think about, are all going to fit into this verse. So when we think about that girl that you really don't like and you don't want to be with, God tells you to think about the things that are pure about her, lovely, honest, just, good report, virtue. So rather than try to tell your friends what this yucky girl did and all the bad things she did, he would ask you to talk about her virtues and the things that are of a good report about her, and to praise her and the things she does well. Maybe she sings well and you don't like the fact because you wish you could sing that well. Or maybe she knows how to draw really well and you can't. Rather than being angry and upset and talk about how you don't like what she does or she has a yucky attitude, tell your friends what an amazing job she does drawing. Think about her in that light. And if you obey Philippians 4:8, it will help you have a lot less yucky tears to shed and to have some tears that will actually be healing and a balm to your soul. Because if you follow this verse here and think about all your friends in this light and think about everything, your home life, everything that happens to you in this light, then you're not going to be sitting there having a pity party and feeling so sorry for yourself. Everybody in life has yucky things happen to them. Everybody in life has an awful life at some point. And the scripture tells us that this life is cursed. I mean, we're under a curse. We're not here to live a life that's perfect, and nobody gets to live a life that's perfect. But if we live this life for God, then the next life we can live will be perfect and won't have any tears. That's what he says. He's going to wipe away our tears, and there'll be no more tears. And that's really all I have to say, except I love little girls, and I've been praying for all of you guys at camp, and pray that every single one of you turns to the Lord with everything you have.